Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I got the whole crew with us.
Photobomb,
T-Rex, and Jake Ellenberger. By the way, someone sent us a photobomb on Twitter of
I thought that was awesome.
Of the Predator being photobombed by you. I'm like, thanks, man. That was very creative. Whoever did that, that made me laugh. I couldn't even get mad at that. I was like, you fucker, you got me. How annoying was that, by the way? I like how you're like, sorry, man, I was drunk.
I didn't say sorry. He was like, why would you do that? And I was like, because. And he said, because what? And I was like, liquor was free.
Yeah. And if you're just listening in, what I'm saying is I got these pictures with these beautiful fighters, beautiful tough fighters, and T-Rex photobombed two of them, which was annoying as hell. Jake, how was your week?
It was good, man. It was a good weekend. This weekend was relaxing. Just, man, it's just been training. It's been really getting dialed in for this camp, so I've been boring, man, just training.
Are you bringing in guys to kind of you know, recreate what Kelvin's gonna do, or kind of mimic Kelvin?
Yeah,
so those guys are making weight for camp and stuff.
Or you brought a couple light heavyweights in, to not make weight and stuff. No, but yeah, some guys that are definitely similar style for Kelvin.
Who are those guys?
I'm not going to mention names.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Look at you.
But I got a few.
Nice.
Few good. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's pretty straightforward, though. He's a good wrestler. He's tough. He moves forward. Not really, no surprises there.
Now, are you getting ready for a war in this one, or are you going to be smarter? Are you going to stand? Are you going to use your wrestling?
I don't even know what that means.
Like, are you going to stand and trade like Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
No, that's stupid. And the fans can go to hell because that's... That's not what anybody wants to do. At least I don't. But no, we're going to win. We're going to win as soon as possible and get out of Mexico.
Nice. Now, I know that Pat Cummings said you've been getting tons of ass lately. Has that been distracting?
Really?
Yes. When Pat came on the show, he was talking about all the ass you've been getting.
Wow. No, I have no idea what Pat's talking about. But no, I've been focused, man. I've been focused.
Full of focus, man. And you, how was your week, T-Rex?
It was cool. I was in... Little Rock, Arkansas.
How was that?
Wednesday through Sunday. It was cool, man. The best part about Arkansas is leaving, number one. but they have barbecue there that's out of this world, man. I love. I just ate at this place called the Whole Hog Cafe every day I was there.
Really?
Probably put on like 10 pounds while I was there.
Nice.
Yeah. And had six shows, two of which were sold out on Saturday night. Standing ovations both shows Saturday night.
Really?
Nice. Yeah. Sold out all my DVDs.
Look at you.
I only had four of them with me. So
people weren't just getting up to leave. They actually were standing up to cheer.
Yeah, it was a walking ovation.
A walking ovation. Nice
it
work.
It was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. I had shows at the Ice House. I got to hang out with Rogan a little bit. He was there. He was in a big room. I was in room two.
Right.
I was pretty
the annex.
I was in the annex. Good room, though. I hung out with Sean McCorkle Friday night. That dude is out of his mind. I love Sean McCorkle, but he's actually fighting on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Hammered?
Is it the local tavern? Or?
Yeah, he's at... he's fighting in Kimbo's backyard. No, he's fighting...
At a barbecue?
At a barbecue. Yeah. He's fighting Friday night. He's funny, though. He's a really funny guy. Yeah. And I ran
he's
into
very unassumingly funny.
Yes. Yeah, he talks like so fast. But he's a good guy. He was making us laugh. I had these girls with us, and he was just cracking all of us up. He's a very, very twisted guy, telling us about all the girls he's slept with, and he's funny.
He's telling the girls that too?
Yes, yeah, completely. Wow. You know, so that was cool. I went to jiu-jitsu class on Saturday, and this fucking guy gets me every time. He always gets me in like this armbar. He's good. He's a tough guy, but I'm like, I'm not letting him tap me this time. We're going to the roll. I'm not letting him do it. I don't care what happens. So I'm holding him down pretty much the entire time, and I'm sweating. It's like 180 degrees out, but I'm doing well. The last 10 seconds, he pulls an arm bar. He had me, and everyone's yelling, tap, tap, tap. I'm like, fuck it, I'm not tapping. I got out. But then I'm like, I'm such a fucking moron. I could have broken my arm so easily.
Right.
What am I trying to prove?
Trying to pull a Nogueira?
Why am I doing that? But I've like read that there are fighters that are like, I'm not tapping in practice. Like, what's your theory on that, Jake?
You know, I've seen plenty of guys like that that will not tap. That are just like I've seen. It's terrible. I've seen like knees start to bend, and you're like you're just waiting. You know, it's like it's not. It's I think it's smart to like you know you're gonna push it to a certain limit, but to just not tap is not very smart. I mean, because you gotta you know you don't want to put yourself when you get in a fight. You don't want to put your mind to like immediately you get in a submission. You're gonna tap. Like you don't want to train your mind to think like that.
Yeah,
right. That's
at the same point.
You. Are you easier? Are you more likely to tap if you've done it in practice?
Yeah, right. I would say, because it's like, you know, you're used to that. You get in that uncomfortable situation.
Like Bob Sapp taps during the walk-in now. Yeah. Like he's actually he's walking in, it's just us tapping. But yeah, that's true.
No, but an arm lock or a knee bar or something like that is not smart. I mean, you know, you tear something and it could be a career-ending injury, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was actually hoping for that, so I never have to go back to class.
I never have to go again.
Yeah, I was one of those things. Whenever I have class, the whole day I'm like, "Fuck, why? I don't want to go." I have all these excuses. It's hot.
But once you get there, you have a good time.
Once I get there, I go. I lose weight. I feel good about myself. But the whole day, I'm like, "Why am I doing this? Like, I'm 36. It's over. It's fucking over. It's done. What am I trying to prove?" But then my like dad's like, "Don't go. You're gonna fuck up your face, and you're gonna be on TV this week, and you know this and that." And so it's sort of but it's one of those things where you know. I do enjoy it. It's hard doing the Eddie Bravo's like 10th Planet because I feel like those guys are so flexible as far as some of their like, you know, spider positions and this position and that position. It's just like their legs are over their heads and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, you should take hot yoga." I'm like, I'm not taking a class for a class. You know, I'm taking one class.
Taking a class for a class.
You know, but it's fun. I have a good time. So yeah, that was cool. And then my wrestling team, this little girl joined the team. This little black girl. Mm-hmm. And
is her name Moni Davis?
Her name is Moni Davis. Her name is Aaliyah. And she's within one practice, she was taking down kids left and right. She's athletic. She's nice. A little badass girl. She was laughing. I thought it was her mom was taking pictures. It was cute. And then this one kid on my team is 100.
You got those fast twitch muscles there.
Oh man!
Really? She had fast,
quick twitch muscles.
Quick twitch muscles. Anyway,
they're bred for that.
So we have a good show today. we have Nick Lentz on the show. We have Keith Johnson, who's in Titan FC. Pat Barry and Rose are coming on. We got to talk about last week's shows, the Andre Arlovski knockout over Bigfoot. You guys see that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't count Arlovski out too soon.
Oh, man, that was... I'm telling you, man, Arlovski and Chael and Dan Henderson and Overeem, it's like a TRT, a pro-TRT infomercial now. All the guys that are on TRT are just getting destroyed. And maybe they need TRT. Maybe, who knows? I mean, it's pretty crazy. But so we have that. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about Nick Diaz's DUI that he got.
Come on.
He got arrested last week. We got to talk about the upcoming fights. Mayweather making $888,000 a minute in his boxing match. We have to get Jake's things about that. We're going to close the show with Dana White's tweets. But first, let's talk to Nick Lentz. Our next guest is the eighth ranked guy at the in his weight class at the 145-pound division. He's a badass dude. He's always getting better. He's won his last 4 to 5 fights. Nick Lentz, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Just chilling.
Nice. Now you're on here with Jake Ellenberger, as well as Todd Rex, as well
Todd. It just sounds so weird when you say Todd.
As well as T-Rex.
What's up, Nick?
Ellenberger, and I don't know T-Rex, but I guess I know Ellenberger, so that's good.
Nice. Now you're over in Florida.
Thanks for listening.
At American Top Team, correct?
Yeah, American Top Team.
How's that going?
It's good, man. I moved out here like a year ago. I was going back and forth for camps, you know, staying in the fighter house and stuff like that, but I got real sick of that, and I wound up selling all my stuff in Minnesota and just moving down here. It's been great for my career, so it's a good move.
Yeah, I mean, so who are some of the guys you're working out with? You're working out with, like, Hector and Woodley and, or, well, before that thing happened.
I don't think I'd be working out with Hector and Woodley at the same time, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think those guys are getting along too well, but...
Yeah, what happened there, by the way?
I have no idea. I'm not stepping into that. I have no idea.
Does it get uncomfortable in the gym?
I don't know. They're not... I've never seen them both at the gym at the same time, so I don't know.
So who are some of the guys you're working with?
I mean, I work with everybody. You know, I mean, Thiago Alves, my friend over here, Rob Whiteford, is here. I just got done working with Daniel Strauss. You know, there's a million guys. Masad, that chick. There's a million guys you guys never heard of, and then obviously the top level guys in the UFC.
Hey, Masad's a stud, man. I used to train with Masad when he lived back in Nebraska. He's a killer, man.
You know, so there's a lot of really good up-and-comer kids. There's a lot of obviously established guys, you know, or Robbie Lawler, people like that. And then, you know, this the American Top Team, it's just full of killers. So every day you show up at practice, you know you're going to be in for a hard day.
Yeah, I mean, that's also Cole Miller, correct?
Yeah, Cole Miller, you know?
Yeah.
Cole Miller, they work with Jiu-Jitsu with him, work with Ricardo Laborio. Then there's guys that, like I just trained with a lot with Wagner Rocha, Tagarello, both crazy Jiu-Jitsu guys, you know? Like, there's guys that are just good at, like, really high-level Jiu-Jitsu guys, really high-level strikers, kickboxers, you know? There's a million guys to train with at any time.
Now, I mean, what's been the big difference between that camp and, like, when you trained over with Brock Lesnar and Sean Sherk and those guys?
It's night and day, you know? I mean, just the talent that you're surrounded by. Also, there's coaches constantly there. You know, at any practice, there's 5-6 coaches constantly watching you, watching tape with you, critiquing you, making sure you're never taking a break. You know, always in your face, you know, not in like a aggressive way, but always making sure that you're doing the right things and improving. And I've never been a part of a team like that where the coaches take such a dramatic effort to make sure you're doing okay. You know, most MMA gyms, there's a main coach. You kind of show up every once in a while, you guys go over technique and stuff, but there's not 3 or 4 guys constantly watching you, making sure you're progressing the way you're supposed to.
Now, did you ever actually roll with Brock or no?
Yeah, man, I roll with Brock. I choked him out.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he was just messing around, and I just jumped on a guillotine to see if I could get it, and I got it. And then, like, the next roll we did, he was in guard. He picked me up over his head, like, WWE style, and just chucked me across the room, and then I was like, all right, you win, and I quit.
Now, when you choked Brock out, like, he went to sleep?
No, he like tapped, but like it was like more of like we weren't really going that hard, and I just jumped on it like a kind of just to see if I could get it.
That's hilarious. Now, you're kind of a guy that like you're kind of in a tough area because you're always nobody wants to fight you because you're not like a huge name in the sport. You should be a bigger name than you are. I'm not saying this to be insulting, but you're kind of this like working man grinder guy. Always going to bring it, and a lot of guys probably don't see an upside to fighting you, correct?
Yeah, that's how it's been for a while. I mean, it's getting a lot better now that I went to 145, and obviously I've been doing a lot better. Got the new team. I've obviously grown as a fighter, my striking, my jiu-jitsu, everything, you know. I keep saying this, but at 155 and the way I was training, I was just a waste of talent. You know, I was just tough. That's all I was. I could take a punch and I could give one back, and I had good wrestling, so I was just getting by, beating guys that were better technically than me. But now the whole game has changed since I've moved to American Top Team.
That's great, man. I mean, it's nice to see a guy like you get his due because number one, you're going to Brazil all the time and you're beating these Brazilians, and it seems like you for a while you were the only American winning in Brazil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is tough to fight down there because you go down there and there's the conditions are not good. You know, nobody speaks English. They certainly don't take care of you as well. Everyone hates you. That's for sure. You know, like we go to the arena, the people are like, not like, they're like as aggressive and as mean as possible without like actually touching you. You know, just screaming at you, yelling at you, saying you're going to die. You know, just vile stuff. But you know, once you get past that, they got a good fan base down there, and it's fun to fight down there every once in a while.
And the booties are big, too.
Yeah, no, right. After you won, did you bang any hot Brazilian broads or what?
No, man, I didn't want to do anything except go home.
Come on, really? Those are some of the most beautiful girls in the world.
Dude, I live in South Florida, man. There's Brazilian girls everywhere.
Yeah, but they're 87 years old.
And they're called Cubans.
He's about 87 years old. No, there's beautiful Brazilian girls here, and I speak English.
All right.
I can pick them up easier.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Now, now, what happened with you and BJ Penn? Did he break your ankle or something? What happened with you and BJ Penn?
No, man. I went down there to train with BJ, and you know, the first day I got there, we were drilling, and he wound up accidentally. It was a total accident, not his fault, but he wound up accidentally hitting me in the eye, cut my eye open. Right on my eyelid, had to get a bunch of stitches from there on. I was supposed to stay there for 2 weeks, so I was like, oh, I can't really do too much, and didn't train too much after that. You know, we did a couple goes after that, but overall, you know, I couldn't train too much because I had to five stitches in my eye.
Oh man. So it's okay, but I mean, it wasn't like anything bad blood or anything. It was just a freak accident.
No, it was a total accident. No, I have no problem with BJ. I've always liked BJ. I've always thought he was one of the. I always thought he was great for the sport. I always liked his attitude and stuff. You know, I have no idea what's going on between him and Dolce and all that nonsense. But as far as me and him have no beef.
Now, what happened with you? Now, are you with Dolce for your diet?
Yeah, I work with him on the diet.
Nice. So, and then you would swear by him, correct?
Well, I would say I just use him as a nutritionist, you know. But yeah, I think he's one of the best nutritionists in the world.
All right, okay. Because some people, I know BJ was saying that he was upset because he was paying him $1,000 a day for 22 days or something, and then and it was some kind of crazy deal. I'm not really sure. These are all alleged allegations. I don't know exactly what happened, but
I don't have any idea what it is. But my time working with Mike Dolce, he's a brilliant nutritionist, man. He got me down to 145 easier than I was making 155.
Wow. All right. There you go.
What were you coming down from?
Me? I come down from about 175.
Now, how upset were you with Oliveira for not making weight for his last fight?
Very. You know, I thought it was ridiculous, you know, like he calls me out and then he shows up and he's not even on weight or whatever. And then I accepted the fight after he didn't make weight anyways, and then I get a call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I'm like ready to go down there and start warming up for the fight, and then they say the fight is canceled. So, you know, overall, I thought it was kind of I felt like, you know, you get all built up, you do all that training camp, I put 8 weeks of my life into beating up that guy, and then I get there and nothing happened. So overall, you know, I mean, I don't know, I don't really know what happened there. I don't know why he was overweight. I mean, they said he was sick or something. I don't know anything about it, but overall, I was very frustrated with the situation, and I showed up ready to fight, and I didn't get to fight.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too. Any questions for the great Nick Lentz, Jake Ellenberger?
No, I was just reading a little bit of his background, and he said he started fighting in 2005, and you made your UFC debut in 2009, which was like the same time as me. When you were at Minnesota, how was your experience when you went to Minnesota? I'm just curious.
Well, what do you mean?
Like when you were, did you go to college there for a little while?
Oh, University of Minnesota?
Yeah.
It was good. You know, I mean, at that point I was wrestling. I was a good wrestler, but I didn't really, the styles of coaching at Minnesota didn't mesh with me. Mm-hmm. I love the coaches down there. I think they're all great, you know, but like they're real intense in your face kind of thing. And I'm kind of a mellow, relaxed kind of guy. And so like, we didn't really get along too well in that scene. And then
I decided... Was Tom Ryan the coach then?
No, it was Jay Robinson, Marty Morgan.
Right.
You know, people. Yeah. So like, you know, like overall, it was a good experience. I learned a lot of good wrestling, but just I didn't mesh well with the team, their style, and so I decided to start fighting. Best thing that ever happened to me.
Where did your nickname, the Carney, come from? Are you circus folk?
I was cornering Nick Thompson.
Smells like cabbage.
I was cornering Nick Thompson in Japan, and I was bored, so I went out to the arcade, and they have like all these claw machines and shit out there. So I won like a crazy amount of toys and stuff, and I won so many things. The Japanese people wanted to take pictures with me, and they thought I was like a white superstar, so that like everyone was surrounding me. And then this old Japanese lady said I was like a carnival person because I could beat all the games, and then Nick Thompson gave me the nickname the Carney.
That's a very long story. Wow, that I can't believe you have to explain that every time someone asks you that.
Yeah, every time.
Oh man, that's rough. Now, do you have a girlfriend in Florida? Or are you single? Or are you on Tinder? Not that I want to know, but I'm saying.
Are you on Tinder?
What's?
I have a wife.
Oh, you have a wife. Nice. How long have you been married for?
I've been with my wife for 10 years.
10 years. Nice. That's a long time. Now, she's from Minnesota also?
Yes.
The girls in Minnesota have the best asses because it's like cold, so they have to get big butts to like stay warm, correct?
Oh, my
God. I don't know about that, man. My wife is tall and skinny, so I wouldn't know.
I'm not saying your wife. I'm just saying that I did shows at the House of Comedy in Minnesota, and there's some cute little Minnesota chicks.
Were you over there in Duluth?
Yeah, Duluth. Why do you make these? All right, so sorry, Nick. Fucking.
No, Duluth is terrible. I don't know. That's definitely hillbilly shit out in Duluth. Exactly.
So yeah, you've been married 10 years. Now, is it hard for you to turn down all the chicks that get thrown your way now that you're a top 10 fighter?
No, man. No, it's not hard. You know, I got a good wife.
Not good.
My wife likes the finer things in life, so I'm good with it.
Like what? Like Anthony Pettis? No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she was into. But I was. I'll let you just kind of roll with that one.
All right, I'll got you. That, good. I'm definitely not rolling with you. All right, so that's cool. Now, are you and Volkman friends?
Yeah. I know Jacob Volkman. We were friends for a long time.
I know he's from Minnesota. Now, what happened with Sean Shirk? Why did he take 25 years off?
I don't know, man. You'd have to ask him. He kind of just wanted to retire, I guess. I don't know.
But I mean, wasn't he one of your coaches in Minnesota?
Well, he's one of my training partners and one of my friends. Yeah. But overall, like, why he decided to not take any more fights or anything, I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Yeah, because he was one of my favorite fighters, Sean Shirk. I used to love watching Sean Shirk. It was just a
yeah, man. He's one of the best fighters there's been in there. His double leg is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I've never fought anyone or trained with anyone that had the even close to the level of takedown ability that he had.
It was just a grinder. I mean, coming from an amateur wrestling background, I always root for guys like you and Shirk and Clay and you know, Jake and like these other guys that just come from a wrestling background that you just know it's going to be a fight. It's not, you're not going to be dancing and running around the octagon and it's not going to be a jabbing contest. It's just going to be a fight. And I really enjoy watching your fights, man. And I think you're a guy that if I was, I would like to see, you know, get that title shot. I think you're a couple fights away from a title shot, no?
Yeah, man, definitely. I'm definitely working my way up, and I'm definitely, you know, 2-3 fights away from it. So I'm definitely focused on it. I'm looking forward to it. And you're right. I think I pull with a style of fighting that people don't want to fight, and I'm gonna have a hard time convincing some of these guys in the top five to accept the fight with me. But eventually, they're just gonna have to.
All right, so let's call them out right now. All right, so who do you want to fight?
All of them.
Come on.
All of them. I'll fight any one of them. You can list them all off. I'll fight any one of them.
All right, I'm gonna name a fighter at 145, and you tell me how you're gonna beat that person. And why you'd be a good fight for him. Because we are going to help you out, Nick Lentz. All right? We are going to do our best. Conor McGregor.
Well, he's going to lose to Dustin anyway, so I'm not going to have to worry about that.
All right. But let's say he gets past Dustin.
I'd love to fight him. I'll fight him in a second.
All right. Now, what's your strategy for fighting? Like, what would you do to Conor McGregor?
I'll walk across the ring, pick him up, throw him on his head, and beat him up.
All right. Okay. All right. Chad Mendez.
It's going to be the same for everybody, man. Huh?
Chad Mendez. Do you want a rematch with Chad?
Yeah, I would love a rematch with Chad. You know, I mean, the first fight, I took it. I had a fight scheduled with Bermudez. They gave me the option to keep with Bermudez or fight Chad. It was a great test for me. I obviously fell a little bit short, but in the future, I definitely think I could get to him.
Cub Swanson.
Yeah, man. Again, good fighter, but obviously, I think I pose way too many threats that he can't handle. I don't think any of these guys can deal with the scrambling, the wrestling, and the striking all mixed together. You know, I don't think that any of them are going to be able to deal with it now. And the longer I'm at top team, the better I'm getting. I really don't think any of them are going to take it. You know,
even Frankie Edgar.
I would love to fight Lamas. I would love to fight Korean Zombie. You know, I'd love to fight all those guys, but. Right now, that's not up to me. It's up to Sean Shelby in the UFC, so we'll see what comes up next.
Brian Caraway.
What?
What about Brian Caraway?
No, I'm not interested in that one.
All right. Fine. You're ducking Brian Caraway?
That's going to be the title of this thread, right?
No, I didn't even know he was in the 45-pound division.
He's not. I just wanted to bring him up.
No, all right. Okay.
All right. What about Frankie? You versus Frankie Edgar? I think that'd be a good scrap.
I think it would be too. You know, and also just the fact that Frankie's been around for such a long time, that would be a really cool fight to have. You know, I really respect that dude, and it would just be awesome to. It would be awesome to get in there and fight with him, and I definitely think I could come out with the win.
Now there's a debate online whether or not Ray Rice could beat Ronda Rousey. And
no, Ronda Rousey would whoop his pussy ass.
Okay, all right. So you're taking all right. Rave right. This is a whole thing. People are arguing.
You're shitting me, right?
No, people are debating. It's like a 90-page thread on who would win, Ray Rice or Ronda Rousey, and I think Ronda would win too. But I don't know, in an elevator.
Didn't that happen? Like, didn't you have Shang Forbes on here? And he posed the question, who
but they're saying in an elevator. It'd have to be, I think in an octagon, Ronda wins, but in an elevator, it'd be tougher. I don't know.
Walking right. Song, loving an elevator.
Thanks, man. Okay, so Nick, you're a very angry guy. You seem like an angry guy, but a very fired up guy. You're a fired up guy. You're
a motivated
angry
guy.
I'm almost never angry, man.
All right. Okay. Well, all right, motivated guy. Motivated. You're very motivated. You're a motivated guy who I like to see, who I enjoy watching. I'm a fan. I'm a Nick Lentz fan.
Hell yeah.
You have a, do you have any kids or no?
No, I don't have any kids.
All right.
I can have kids after I'm done fighting.
Yeah, after you whip Conor McGregor's ass, you can have some kids.
For sure.
Exactly.
I'd love to watch that fight.
Kick him in his potatoes.
Yes. Well, thank you, Nick, for coming on the podcast. Anytime you want to come on, you're more than welcome. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, man. They find me at Nick Lentz. It's at NIKLENTZ. Instagram, same thing. Facebook, whatever, you know. Check it out. Well, and obviously, like for sure, man, I would love to fight Conor McGregor, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I think Dustin's going to put him out for a while, so we'll have to worry about that.
I hope so. I really hope so. So, well, thanks, Nick. Thanks for coming on. I would love to have you back on the show.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Lightest.
All right, that was Nick. No nonsense.
Yeah, I was about to say he seems no nonsense.
Like, what you see is what you get.
That's what you want to go with. that's
like, I like that guy though. It's good to see a fighter not care about PR. So Nick just tells it like it is. You know, he's one of those guys.
We should have asked him what he thought about who would win between Brock Lesnar and GSP.
Yeah, well, we should have asked him that.
You already know what he's going to say.
Lesnar is going
to
say?
I just kind of wanted to tease you about thinking that GSP could win that.
I'll stick to that answer till the day I die.
All right.
I got your back.
All right. So now we are going to call Keith Johnson, who's a big fan of the show, also a fighter, Titan FC. He's got a 10-2 record. He's a good fighter, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. So our next guest is Keith Johnson. He fights for Titan FC. The nickname is The One. He's probably the one you never heard of. But he's won his last 5 fights in a row. He was the Alabama State Champion, a No-Gi World Pan Am Champion. He owns a business in Alabama. Keith Johnson, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Welcome to the show. You're on with Jake Ellenberger and T-Rex.
What's up? Is this
what's
the same?
Going on?
Is this the same Keith Johnson from the Harbor Beatdown?
No. What's that?
It's a fight. Oh, okay. Oh.
So how's
there's a fighter named Keith Johnson who was in this fight called the Harbor Beatdown.
No. This is Keith Johnson from Titan FC. Won his last fight.
The guys
finished his last five opponents. So. So how's life, man? How's everything going? How's the gym? Talk to me about your life. Tell us everything.
It's going great, man. Just ready to fight again, to be honest. And gym's doing good. And just kind of getting settled in. Just had our 1 year a couple of weeks ago. So just kind of getting in the groove of things here and trying to get ready for my next fight.
Nice. 1 year what?
1 year being open at my gym.
Oh, nice. Now you took 3 years off to open a gym, correct?
Yeah, I had another gym I had for 5 years with a partner, and last year I decided to do my own thing, and me and a buddy opened up our own gym, a bigger gym.
Nice. Now you are the Alabama State champion in wrestling. Did you wrestle in college or no?
No. I just started doing jiu-jitsu on occasion after high school and then found MMA a couple years later. So
nice.
Just kind of hanging out after high school.
I like it, man. You're like a real man's guy from Alabama. I could tell you got that fucking.
Woo-wee! Alabama, roll tide.
That's half the state right there.
Sorry, that was T-Rex impression of Alabama. Now Jake, any questions for my man right here?
Yeah, no, I'm curious. When's your next fight?
In November.
Okay, who is it?
They haven't given me a day yet, but that'll be November.
Oh, okay, so, do you know who it's against?
No, not yet. They haven't given me an opponent.
Now,
if it's against the winner of the Matt Riddle fight.
Oh, nice. Now, when you went from Wild Bill's fight night, right? So you're fighting on Wild Bill's fight night in Alabama, and you go from there to Titan FC on CBS Sports. How stoked were you? I mean, is that a fucking dream come true or what?
Yeah, man. It's just especially because of the five fight deal. So I know because probably, you know, I'm 14-3, but I probably fought in 15 different locations. So, it's good just to have a little stability and not have to wonder where's my next fight coming from and you know, and that kind of thing. So it's real good that I could just focus on training and stuff and not trying to find a fight.
Is it hard having like a full-time job and being a fighter?
Yeah. I mean, it's a grind. That last fight I took off 3 weeks before my fight just so I could focus on my weight. Because I'm a bigger 170, so I got to make sure my diet's on point to make weight, no problem.
I was watching your fight against George Lockhart at Wild Bill's fight night, and George was a Marine, and it was all Marines in the crowd. And
yeah, and they kept saying, every question they had is loaded, like, how did it feel to beat up a Marine?
Oh, my God.
They were just setting me up to get killed or something, man. They were just like, how do you feel about fighting a Marine tonight? And everything they asked had that. Of course, the crowd would go crazy every time they said Marine. So.
I mean, now,
a little hostile.
But I mean, you submitted the guy, and it seemed like you were actually kind of brought in to like lose that fight, and you got him pretty good. You ended up tapping him with like 5 seconds left. It was some kind of a weird. What was it like? That you used
a mounted triangle.
It was a mounted triangle, which was.
And being from Alabama, that's kind of been my whole career, is that people bring me in to lose just because there's no big names from Alabama and stuff. So everywhere I go, I've gone to Miami and fought, and they bring me in to lose. Everywhere I've ever been, they just bring me in to lose. I'm the guy from Alabama that they're trying to, you know, just get a win for their local guy or whoever. So so that's just kind of been my career. It's just been the unknown and, you know, and that's what they gave me the nickname too, the home wrecker, because there's no rules chosen in Alabama, so that Wild Bill's is actually in Atlanta.
The home wrecker, that's great.
That's the best nickname ever.
Yeah, what are you doing? Fuck the one, dude.
Yeah, it's the home wrecker.
The home wrecker, come on, man.
Yeah. It sounds pretty good, but I don't know if my wife will like that one.
Oh,
this is show business.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
Yeah.
Now, is your wife from Alabama?
She is.
Oh man, how great are those accents? Those Southern accents. Oh,
yeah. I'd love to be in the house and they have an argument.
Oh,
listen to them go back and forth.
Yeah.
You said you was taking a trash out.
I never said that. You did.
That's pretty much been on right there.
The home wrecker. I like. First of all, you're now on. We are coining the home wrecker. That's come on. You got to be the home wrecker.
You can't be the one.
You can't be
come
the
on.
One. There's too many ones.
Yeah, I'm down for that. So that works.
All right. Good. Now.
So Keith. Sorry, Adam.
No, go on.
Who have you like? Who are some of your mentors you've looked up to in the sport? Like, who are some fighters that you've looked up to?
I would say Alan Belcher and John Salter, and then as far as striking goes, I really look up to Stephen Thompson. I go up there and train with him a bunch.
Oh, nice. The Wonder Boy.
Yeah. So, and that's what I try to do, is seek out the best people that can beat me up so that I can, once you get used to that, everything else is easy. So, yeah, probably those guys, just that I've been around. But yeah, I just I just want to, I'm a competitor, man. It's not so much I'm a fighter. I'm just a competitor. So I want to see how far I can go. I'm ready for that war that it goes three rounds, it's back and forth. And I don't feel like I found that yet. So.
No, what's the pay like? Like, I mean, for Titan FC, I mean, if you don't mind me asking, like when they sign you to fight, I mean, what's a contract like for Titan FC?
It's all right. It's not really more than any other place, you know. But you know, it's the exposure. You can get so many more sponsors if you're on CBS Sports versus on nothing.
Oh, right.
So it's nothing, and of course I don't really have a name, so I probably am at the bottom of the pay grade with Titan.
Well, we're gonna change that, man. We're gonna change that. You finished your last five opponents. You're the home wrecker.
You got to change your name to the home wrecker, man. We're gonna get you more followers.
We got to hook you up, man.
We're gonna
get some of them Alabama girls calling you the home wrecker.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. All right, so you finish your last five guys. Who are you calling out in Titan FC?
You know, whoever wins the 170 belt.
No. Come on. You got to give us some names.
Be a home wrecker.
Matt Riddle I want to fight Ben Saunders, but as soon as he got signed, he got picked up by the UFC. So, it don't matter, man. Whoever got the belt, that's what I want. Man.
All right. So Keith Johnson, the home wrecker, wants the belt. Where can people find you, Keith Johnson?
Find me on Facebook or Keith the One Johnson or Twitter, the 1KJ170.
The 1KJ170. Thanks, man. Well, good luck with your career. We're going to have you back on. I like you, man.
The home wrecker.
The home wrecker for life.
Roll Tide! Woo!
All right.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
It's Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
That's what he said.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
get it together, Todd.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot, Keith. I appreciate it.
Later.
All right.
Take care. That was Keith Johnson on the podcast. The home wrecker. All right. Let's talk about some of the fights that happened last weekend. All right. Andre Arlovski pulled up a huge upset.
Disappointed a lot of Brazilians.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes. Yes.
By knocking out Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised myself.
I think a lot of people are starting to write Arlovski off.
They were. But I mean, at the same time, I think that TRT, I think when you start taking that stuff, not only do you physically get dependent of it, but I think you also mentally, you start thinking you need it. And when you're off it, it's just a mental game. It's a mind fuck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sports are so mental. And all these guys that were taking drugs, and I think Bigfoot actually needed it. I, from what I understand, the guy has some kind of condition where he's got giganticism or some kind of... I mean, look at the guy. I mean, if anybody needs some kind of drugs to stay healthy, it's that guy.
Well, I think with him, it's his body's like overproducing growth hormone from the way I kind of read it.
Yeah.
So he's like, everything obviously is huge and he's got...
I mean, yeah, so I think that him and Overeem should have a rematch. It'll be horse meat versus horse face. And I really think...
my God.
Joe Rogan... After
so what's next for Arlovski? What do you think?
Arlovski, he's right up there. He's now in the number seven. I would say the winner of... Well, you don't want to have him fight Chab again. The first one was a stinker. I was going to say first... I would say him versus Rothwell. That's a good fight.
Sure.
Both coming off wins.
Yep.
Him versus Ben Rothwell.
The winner, Roy Nelson and...
Mark Hunt.
Or Samoan.
I can't wait for that fight to find out who has the best chins.
That's a great fight.
Yes. It is. It's on at 3:30 in the morning on Friday night on Fight Pass. I'm going to watch it. I'm staying up to watch it. Yeah. I can't. The whole card's good. Mm-hmm. But who do you think wins that fight?
Man, I was leaning towards Hunt, but I know Roy's got a chin, man. That guy can take a
seven of them.
He's got a lot of chins, but... Jeez, I don't know. I mean, you see a fight like when Stefan Struve fought Mark Hunt, and he had him finished a couple times and didn't capitalize, and then Struve ended up getting knocked out. But
I think he couldn't find him at one point. Like literally, he got lost. He was so tall. No, you're right. I think I don't know. I mean, both those guys have great chins. I think Roy Nelson wins this fight.
Roy, he does. He works hard. I've seen him train a few times. Like, the guy works hard, and as much as he doesn't look like he's in shape, the guy's in shape. Like, he can
really
he can fight. Like, as far as cardiovascular,
round is a shape.
No, he can go. He can go. I think Roy, if he doesn't get caught with one of them big punches,
the winner's gonna call out Carl's Jr. but yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight. I definitely am.
Who are you going with in that one?
I'm going with Roy. I just think McMark's been in too many wars. Not that Roy hasn't, but I just I don't know. It's
so
a tough fight. They might touch gloves. I don't know. Who knows? They might both gas out during the touch gloves. So we're gonna get back to that. Okay. Well, what else happened over the weekend? Cody Bollinger lost his fight.
Marlon Moraes.
Moraes finished him in the second. I think
Marlon's a badass, dude.
He's a badass.
He's the truth.
Although I do think Cody, in a way, was I love Cody, but he did seem a little way like he didn't believe in himself. A little happy to be there. You know, he was sort of. I think that he could have. I think, who knows? I think Cody doesn't realize how good he could be. I'll just leave it at that. And I think sometimes certain guys, they get into these title fights and they're like, oh my God, they get a little starstruck. And from what I saw, it looked like he wanted to touch gloves too many times. He wanted to just be a little too much good friends. He even said before, you know, I'm honored to have to be in the octagon with this guy. When people start saying stuff like that, you're like, right. No, you don't want to hear that. I'm going to beat this guy. I'm going to kick his ass. Not it's an honor to share the octagon, you know. And
it's an honor.
So that
it's a decagon, by the way.
Oh, decagon, right? Kind of like Jake's head. So now there was a guy named Wendell who fought last weekend. Wendell.
This sounds like a homeless man's name.
Who was the guy? The guy named Wendell.
Wendell sounded like a
Wendell something. He was crying during the walk to the octagon.
No.
Yeah, he was crying.
Really?
While he was so happy to be there. I can't think that that's a good strategy.
Bawling your eyes out.
I mean, I've never walked to the octagon, but Jake, would you ever start crying during the walk?
No, I mean, you won't. I mean, there's not many scenarios where I would cry, but it would be. It doesn't make sense. I mean, some people get so emotional, like this is their dream come true. So.
It was Wendell Oliveira. I think that was the guy's name. Yeah.
I can't. No, I can't. I can't relate.
Yeah,
he's ripped.
He's ripped, and he was good, but he was. Just, it was too emotional. You can't get that emotional before anything. That like anything that like a fight or a show or acting or, I mean, honestly, I feel like I was watching the Lifetime Network, you can't. To me, crying, laughing, dancing. I know you want to be loose. Just walk to the fucking octagon. Just, you know, I understand this. You don't want to be too overcome with emotion. My opinion. If I was coaching, I would tell the person stop.
Yeah, you could cry afterwards.
Cry afterwards.
You're so happy you won.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. But
Gleison Tibau fought. He actually. I thought that was a weird decision. That could have went either way. I was actually watching it while driving, which is not good. I'm like, I'm literally driving while having Fight Pass, and which is very, very safe. I guess he won.
The strikes 86-41 for Peter Holman.
Yeah, I think Tibau won the first one. It's just, you know, I guess it's still hard getting a victory in Brazil over a Brazilian, unless your name is Phil Davis. But it just seems like it's hard to do that. Especially if you're not on some of these undercard fights. We got to talk about Nick Diaz real quick before we go to Pat Barry and Rose. So Nick Diaz got arrested last week. It was probably the first time you ever seen him smile was in his mugshot. And he got arrested.
For what?
Well, it said it was like DUI, but he was also, I think he threw the pipe out the window. So it was like destruction of evidence or something. And then it was something else. He actually was arrested the week before, so even his police report doesn't show up on time. But, you know, it's one of those things. So I guess he was driving while stoned is what happened, and he tried to toss the bong or toss the ball.
The bong.
And I guess it was his second arrest. I guess it was a warrant out for his. He has a suspended license from earlier, from December. So now it's like he wasn't supposed to be operating the vehicle. And it's just kind of like, what are you doing, Nick Diaz? I mean, what are you doing?
You're keeping it real, son.
No, you're keeping it real dumb. Because the guy's got a fight against Anderson Silva in 4 months. He's going to make a major payday. And he just doesn't need to be driving while stoned, I guess. I mean, right? Why the guy runs everywhere anyway. I mean, why is he? We're going to call Pat Barry and Rose Namajunas.
Pat Barry.
call them right now. Okay, so we got Pat Barry and Rose Namajunas on. Obviously, Pat Barry was one of the top 10 heavyweights in the world. He's a badass fighter, amazing kickboxer as well. Rose Namajunas is on the new Ultimate Fighter, and people are she's looking great. She's looking great so far. A lot of people are calling her the dark horse of the show. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. Just getting back into training. So obviously the first week is like kind of the worst when it you know, when you're out of shape a little bit. But it's also fun, you know, when you're doing what you love.
Nice. I'm personally enjoying being a secretary. I can carry Rose's bags all day and night. I can answer phone calls, return text messages, and set appointments. I can do that. I'm not sweating anymore.
Oh, and by the way, two people have recognized me on the street from the show. That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, that's been real cool. Because, like, Rose has been recognized before in gyms or at, like, fight shows, you know, places like that. But yesterday in a grocery store early today eating breakfast, two people have walked up and said, "Holy shit, are you the Rose?" It's been great, man.
Wow. That is pretty. You sure people didn't think that she was Natalie Portman? Because she kind of has like a Natalie Portman look to her.
Yeah, man. Just two people walked up, and I mean, you know, just because of the way it always is, like, you know, and they're like, "Oh, excuse me." And I'm like, "Yes, it's me. I know." Shorter in person, they're like, is that Rose? And I'm like, "Oh, shit. This is all about." But yep, man, this happened twice.
That is awesome. Now, Pat, is it hard for you to not be the fighter to take a back seat?
No, I've been. If anyone, now that you hear it out loud, for the last 5 years, I've been pointing the finger at Rose. I mean, I think a lot of people can attest to that, and like they can understand. Like, I've been pointing the finger that way, saying, "Hey, keep your eye on her. Stop. Don't look at me. Look at her. She's gonna be something else. She's a different type of breed of animal. She's going to be phenomenal. This is Rose. Hi, I'm Pat. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, look at her. Everybody, keep your eyes on her. Like, I've been doing it for the last few years, and now it's gotten to the point where it's actually, like, she's no longer called Pat Barry's, oh, that's his girlfriend, that's his lady. Like, now I'm Rose's man toy. Like, I don't even have a name anymore. Like, I'm getting to the point, bro. We're so close to that point. Almost there.
You're Rose's man toy. Well, you're a very big man toy.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, do you guys have like?
I'm very soft and gentle, though.
But do you guys have crazy athlete sex? I mean, is it insane with you guys? Is it crazy what goes on?
Hey, thank you.
You know, it's funny, but we've been asked that more than once before, though.
It's crazy. You know what? That's a pretty common question. It's starting to become. Like, oh man. So hey, how you doing? You're padding. That's Rose. Right, yeah, no problem. And it was like, so what kind of, it's like, what's your sex life like? It's like, yeah, damn. Like, what?
If you watch those fire sessions, then you could get a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We make jokes and triangles get thrown out.
I always have on a left glove.
Now, Pat, you said, I remember talking at the party, you said when Rose hit you, when she punched you, you were like, whoa. Like, this girl's not supposed to hit this hard, correct?
Oh, yeah. When Rose and I met, like, the first time we matched up and sparred together, because we were the last two left in the group that didn't have anybody, and I matched up with her. And, of course, you know, me and my head, I'll move around a little bit. The first punch Rose hit me with was kind of like a, you know, I remember in my head thinking, damn, that was fast. I didn't even see that coming. Then we moved around a little bit, and she punched me again. But the second time it hit was like when it lands, like the kind of where like every like time stops, and in your head you start doing math, going, she shouldn't be able to hit that hard. Like, one, I don't even know what hand that was, but like it shouldn't have landed that hard. It shouldn't have been that fast. That shouldn't have happened. By the third punch, I was like, all right, I'm gonna shoot, take her outside and shoot her, because that's not supposed to happen.
Now, how did you, I know you're a slick guy, Pat, you're a good-looking guy, you're a charming guy, but how did you pick Rose up? Because Rose seems like she's the kind of girl.
How do you know that she didn't pick him up?
Yeah, maybe, that's true.
You know, it's actually kind of funny, too, because I'm not the type of person to approach anybody, and I'm really closed off when it comes to, like, that type of stuff. But I think he just was really persistent, and was really charming, and, Yeah, he's got a way with words and convincing people of stuff, so.
he talked you into it?
I was like, hey, you want some water? Here, drink some of this. And she drank it and she woke up through the other
phone. Yeah, pretty much he poisoned me.
I ignored her for like the first 8 months and she just kept on asking and eventually I was like, All right, fine. Here's my MySpace account.
MySpace.
I totally believe Pat's story. Just so you know.
Yeah, no, honestly, man, she, you know, like, Rose was a different type. I mean, you young Jake, come on, man, you know. One, it's almost impossible to be in a gym. It is really hard to be a guy in a gym, be a big guy, especially in a gym, and approach a girl or a woman in the gym and actually it'd be successful. That's pretty tough to do. Or, a lot of times, and this is just from just being around the world, if you walk up to a girl in the gym, you start talking to her, and she's like, oh, hey, what's up? And she, like, gets back to you. It's kind of in your head. You have to start thinking, hey, that's not normally what happens. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this?
What do they call it? A dojo ho or something like that?
A dojo ho.
Like, there's so many terms for, like, girls that just sleep with all the guys in the gym. And it's like, and it's just, you know, you don't want to, especially being a girl, like, you already have that, if you're not, like, a well-known fighter that's a chick, you know, you're already going to come across as a stereotype being in the fighting team. So, you know, I was always closed off, and I was always, like, really just stone cold face all the time because I didn't want anybody, I wanted their respect from people, you know, but now that people know who I am, you know, they don't have that assumption. I think times are changing, but, yeah, I don't want to be a dope.
Rose would walk in the gym. She'd walk in with her gear on, like as if she drove to the gym with her shin pads on already. She'd walk in the gym, train really hard. She's the only girl on the all-guys fight team. She'd train really hard, and when practice was over, she'd walk out.
Wow.
And that was it. No one would say bye. She didn't talk to anybody. She didn't even take her gear off. She'd walk out. Mouthpiece, chin pads still on, sweaty, walk straight out to the snow, get in the car, and go and drive home. And honestly, I mean, she really, like, it was, it was a tough spot. One, to be a big guy, to be a guy in a gym. Two, to be the biggest dude in the gym, to be the biggest name in the gym at the time. Like, all around, of course, it looked like, hey, how you doing? I'm Pat. And of course, I mean, like, she was like, man, get out of my face. Like, she didn't talk to me at all. In all actuality, a while went by, a few months went by, and I was like, I don't know. I've never, you're right, this is definitely not bragging what I'm about to say, right? It's not, not the truth. I never really had to approach girls growing up. And by not having to do that, honestly, I don't know how. Like, I never really, hey, I'm Pat. Should we kiss now? I don't know. Like, is this too fast? Am I moving too slow? Like, I don't know how to do that. So when Rose would walk by, I'm like, hey, good punch, hello. And she did keep on walking. And I'm like, it was terrible. Her mom is the one who actually gave it away.
Why? How?
Her mom. The first time I met her mom was at an amateur fight show. Rose, was that the one where you got the 12 fight?
It was the one after. No, there was the one before that.
Okay. Well, yeah, Rose had like her first amateur fight, you know. Even while warming her up, she don't talk, she don't say nothing, she doesn't smile, she doesn't just nothing, right? So after the fight's over with, I'm standing there in the back watching the fights, and then, you know, she kinda like walks up, she's like, look, this is my mom. And that was the first time I remember hearing her voice and was like, oh wow, the mom is so nice and sweet, and this is exactly what she said, I'll never forget it. She's like, oh, hi. Oh, yeah, hey, I'm Yolita. And I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, Rose has told me all about you. And when she said that, I was like, oh, that's sweet.
What?
I remember looking at Rose in the face and having, in my mind, I picture her looking back at me with her eyebrows down and shaking her head no. I got you, your mom. Oh, my gosh, she told me all about you. I was like, yeah, she did.
Rose, what were you telling your mom about Pat?
Yeah, how awesome he is. I'll admit it. He was pretty awesome.
And
cute, but after
that,
that's the end.
Hey, yo, man, after the mom said that, I went and bought the mom a hot dog, and we shared a hot dog. We toasted eating a hot dog.
He toasted.
That's amazing.
Toasted hot dog.
Now, Rose, being on The Ultimate Fighter, it seems like you're getting kind of annoyed with Heather on the show, and it seems like you're just the kind of girl, you're out for yourself. You just want to win. You said you can't wait to punch people in the face.
Business.
That's all you want to do. you even admit there's something wrong with you, but you're going through a phase where you just want to punch people. Who did you want to punch the most? Who got now? What's all this as far as like all this Felice Herrig versus Heather and Tisha versus Carla on Twitter? Break down what's going on for us.
Well, basically, like that Felice and Heather stuff and all that other stuff, like Tisha and Carla. Honestly, I think that's just old news. Like honestly, you guys are all, you know, backed up to the first episode where I've been through the whole thing already, so I can kind of tell you, like, well, it's just getting started, basically. As for myself, in the beginning, yeah, it shows, like, I kind of, you know, had some issues with Heather and Lisa. Actually, no, Lisa I had issues kind of with later, but, you know, all that shit or whatever, it ended up not mattering, in the long run. And really, to this point, it was only because we had to be in the same close quarters with each other. And actually, like, with Heather specifically, it was just me getting used to her. But now, at this point, I can say that I'm just kind of, like, accept her for who she is. And she, you know, she's annoying sometimes here and there, you know, and she has her little quirks, but I think all of us do. And, you know, our personalities don't always line up with each other, but really, I kind of learned how to deal with her, and she ended up not being all that bad later in the season. Because a lot of other people, they, you know, aren't at that point with her, and they still can't stand just the sight of her, you know. But for me, I'm kind of past it, you know, and the longer time that I was there, I started to realize what really mattered and what's really important, why I'm there. And I just kind of got over that stuff and learned how to disconnect myself when I felt like it was, overflowing into the gym aspect. Because there's a lot of times at the house where I feel like I had certain arguments with people or I had to, like, you know, just kind of tell it like it is to certain people. But when it came to training or when it came to the fight, I just put that shit aside and, I didn't let it interfere at all.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching you train. You're like a little ninja. I've never seen anybody kick. I've never seen anybody kick like that. And then I was researching you. You were a black belt at age 9?
Yeah. Now, I gotta say, though, that, you know, as much as that might sound, to some people, that might sound cool, but, you know, I honestly feel like we're in a day and age, especially in America, where there's a lot of martial arts schools out there that are kind of bogus, that are just handing out black belts to really young people. And it's like, you know, honestly, it's like, what could this little person do to, like, somebody that was really trying to hurt them, you know? And I feel like giving a black belt to somebody that's so young is just kind of like a false sense of security. But at the same time, you know, I feel like when I was that age, I definitely deserved you know, something. I was definitely a little ninja, even at a young age, you know, but, you know, don't let that fool you, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's also, I guess, the other side to it that, you know, a realistic situation. I'm 8 or 9 years old, like, you know, a black belt can only say so much.
I don't know. I still wouldn't mess with you at 9 years old.
I would like to interject, and I would like to say, shut up, woman! Hey, man, karate black belt, 3rd degree black belt in karate, then quit because it was too easy and started doing taekwondo and then worked her way up to a black belt in taekwondo and then got out of that and then started wrestling on the all-boys team in high school while playing piano, while, like, having scholarly, like, grade and running cross-country. Hey, man, you know what? A lot of people don't know this.
Wait, and man, basketball and track.
I'm sorry. I forgot. She ran track. She played basketball. She did stick fighting. She ran for president. She did jiu-jitsu. She would solve crime at night. Solve crime at night because she never slept. I mean, all around, it's the kind of resume that you have to sit there and you look at. And once you get, I think if you get 3/4 of the way through that resume, you kind of just stop reading it. Like, ah, oh, man, so wild hair. The ninja. Now imagine that. This is what we've been talking about lately. I was like, I've been a ninja my whole life, and I've done some things in my life, but it's like, when you have a background like that, that's intimidating to the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, that's so ridiculous. We kind of don't even pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Oh, you did all this while you were growing up? Yeah, guess what I did? I was on a bowling team in high school.
Captain. Bowling team captain. You know, but on the flip side, I didn't really have a childhood because, like, I was always, you know, distracting myself from my, you know, my personal life or my trials and tribulations. I was distracting myself with, you know, sports and other things, just keeping myself active, because otherwise, I don't know where I would be if I didn't have something to do or have an outlet like that, you know?
You probably not sleeping like regular.
You guys need your own sitcom.
No, you guys do. They need a reality
you
show.
You guys, honestly, let me be a producer on your show. I'll just laugh the whole fucking time.
Hey, you know what? Make the call. Call somebody and make it happen, man. Because people were there for a while. I'm like, oh, no, y'all really, you need to see this. Like, it's not, from the beginning, Rose isn't just a phenomenal athlete that can do a lot of things. It's not that. I really do, and I've been saying this since I met her. I was like, she really is just the evolution of the sport. Like, she's the... I think I told you this that night, but really, I mean, and it wasn't until later on in life with thinking back on it, but the first time Rose punched me in the head, like that punch that landed, I was like, wow, that was really fast, and the second one, that was really hard. Like, right then and there, I knew that this was now the downside of my career. Like, I knew that. I was like, oh, hey, man, hold on, man, you're a little bitty chick. If you can do that, then that means that there are other people out there in the world that are coming up now that can do that also, and if that's possible, then... That's scary. I mean, I knew that was just, that's the next step. I mean, like, you know, boxing used to look like on the pier in New York with two Irish guys. You know, come on, man, come on, man, come on, man. Like, you know, boxing used to look like that. Then you got Ali, then Tyson, then the Klitschko brothers, then Manny Pacquiao, then you got Mayweather. Then you've got people flying off walls, kicking people in the face, and you got Rose, dude, broke ankle, 12-second flying armbar, and then getting up and going, oh man, that was nothing. It was like, wait, you're not even.
Yeah.
You can't even be happy about that. That was nothing. That was, if that was nothing, then fuck me. I might as well just go sit my ass down somewhere because, like, I didn't even have nothing to do with me. I'm just sitting watching it. It was like, oh my God, can I get your autograph? Like, that's amazing. You know what I mean?
But Pat, you've had some great fights of your own. Let's not downplay what you've done. You've had some epic.
I did have some great fights of my own back in 75.
No.
It's around, but the reality is that, I mean, really, when Pettis ran up the wall and kicked Ben Henderson in the face and jumped up the cage, tell me you didn't, like, instead of going, a lot of people in the world, oh, that's amazing, but I'm pretty sure, Jake, that there are some of us who, when that happened, we just sat there and shook our heads like, oh, well, damn.
That's how I feel sometimes when I see certain comics. I'm like, fuck, I gotta go back. I gotta
Bill
go.
Burr.
I gotta like, go home and write. Burr, I gotta like, go Jesus. Home and fucking write some jokes. Now, Pat. Some of your fights. Now, what fights? Some of your fights have been wars. Obviously, the Czech Congo fight was like that was probably the craziest fight I've ever seen in my entire life. I think I must have watched that 100 times. What fight do you wish you could have back? Who hit you the hardest? What fight are you the most proud of?
Are we talking about MMA or are we talking about just everything in general?
Let's talk MMA for now.
MMA for now. Out of all the fights that I had, which one would I, if I could, go back in time and do again?
Yeah.
I think everybody that I lost to that wasn't Chicago. Everybody that I lost to, I'd like to fight. I'd like to fight LeVar again. I'd fight Joey Beltran. No, I'd beat Joey Beltran. I tried all the guys, Tim Mack, all the guys who beat me.
Crow Cop.
Other than Chicago. Right. Not that fight. That fight, I'm totally fine with him winning that fight.
Okay. And now, who hit you the hardest?
Who hit me the hardest? That's another tough one because I don't really, you don't really feel nothing in the fight. I'm like, oh, you don't?
Yeah.
You don't?
I do. Actually, you don't even feel it. You know?
I felt every one of them.
I don't know.
I felt every one of them in my vagina. Like, I felt every one of them. Like, even the feel, I'll touch your gloves. I'm like, ah, I think it. But I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to say, maybe Czech Congo. I mean, I guess because that would put me up, but that wasn't really a hard punch. That one just got me right in the ear, and I didn't think it was. I was pretty sure I blocked it. As a matter of fact, for the next 3 or 4 days, I was positive I won, and then y'all were just taking me out. But, it wasn't even Crow Cop. I can't think of a solid, like, oh, no.
Who do you think overall is like this?
It's hard for me to determine like who hit the hardest in MMA because really, I don't know, this sounds so stupid whenever I say this, I didn't really get solidly hit that much. Everybody goes, whatever, man. But the truth is that I didn't really get, like, banged.
Like, now, straight up teed off on.
If we count my kickboxing career, I can tell you this, man. I got kicked in the body by Peter Arts at practice one day. And I had never, even to this day, this was years ago, this was back in 2006. He did a switch kick to the body, and we, like, right in the arms, and when it landed, like, it was the kind, it hit so hard that I could taste iron. I went deaf, and instantly in my head, I just started going, you're Peter Arts, okay. Oh, that really feels like that? God damn, man. I mean, my mom, I mean, she's hit me pretty hard.
And then one of the other things I was going to ask, training with Brock Lesnar, what was that like?
It was confusing and ridiculously intense. It was confusing and intense, and I have to say that. And it wasn't just training with Brock; it's just training, doing MMA here in America, in the States. And the reason why I say that is because you put on some big poofy gloves and you put on some big shin pads and you punch and kick people lightly, what I consider to be lightly, and people are like, oh, man, tone it down something. It's like, oh, all right. Anything less than this is shadow boxing. Like, that, anything lower than this is shadow boxing. I have no problem. But then when it comes to the wrestling, wall it. Brock will throw you through a wall. Like, Brock, they had a constant... A constant, like, section of a wall that had to keep getting new sheetrock because people were going through the wall, or they pick you up and throw you onto the dumbbells, or slam you onto a table, or you get tackled into the bathroom, which was it was nuts. Or you get submitted in a way where now you finish with, but then you put big poopy gloves on and everybody's like, oh, relax.
It was also like dealing with really white people.
Yeah, that was...
Dealing with really white people?
Yeah, they were a northern hunting, elk hunting, northern, the northern white man. And I know that maybe my skin tone could be a little bit deceiving, or maybe the way I talk or carry myself, but I'm black. I don't think anybody knew that, though.
No. Oh, really? Why would they make comments or something? Or?
I don't know, man. They wanted to know. They didn't know at all. But like we had a, I don't know who it was that said it in the gym one day. But we were having a talk. I mean, it was like 12 people in there, 12 big guys. I'm obviously the smallest one in the gym. But somebody one day made some comment about Brett Rogers, and I mean it was. All you could hear, they were talking about Brett Rogers, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you could hear Negro, like in slow motion, come singing over the air, man. And I remember, I heard that, and I was like, you know what? I didn't say nothing. I was like, I think I just gotta go. I'm gonna just go home, man. I'm gonna go back to sleep. Go eat some mayonnaise or something like that.
Go eat some mayonnaise.
Have you heard T-Rex's Obama voice?
Oh, God.
His impersonation?
Oh, we actually have Obama with us right now.
I just wanted to say thank you very much for taking time to come on the podcast.
Oh, wait a minute. Yo, that was just like
Obama, what do you think about Pat and Rose together?
I haven't seen a power couple of that caliber since Michelle and myself. I wish you nothing but the best. Perfect. And I would like to be in the room when you guys fight and have sex. And it's probably rather difficult to tell which is which.
Do you think?
I think we've gotten to the stage now where whenever that time comes, I go in the room and I tie myself up.
That's amazing.
I tie myself up and I just say yes, ma'am, over and over again.
That's nothing short of amazing.
Do you think Rose is going to win the fight?
That's got to be one of the best. Like, really. Obama's got to be on every interview you do. That's one of the best. That's one of the best I've heard.
I'm glad you like it, and continue to listen, and vote for me. Well, I'm not running anymore, but just stay a fan. You see what happened to Cody Bollinger, and he didn't like me, and we got into it last time, and he got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
stay on my side, and you'll keep winning.
Now, Pat, I heard that you were scared of Nate Diaz recently.
Oh, wait, yeah, that story finally came out.
Why is he scared of that, dude?
You know what? It was the first time I had seen Nate in person. I knew who Nick and Nate were ever, forever. Like, I knew who they were. I'm definitely a fan of theirs, but it was the first time I had ever seen them in person. And I'm pretty sure it was in LA or Las Vegas. I can't tell which one. But I was waiting for the elevator, waiting to go up to my room, and the elevator door opened. And when it opened, it was Nate standing there by himself. Like, he was standing, it almost looked like he was just standing there, but he was standing there. It almost looked like as if he was waiting for the door to open for the battle to start. It opened on the wrong floor, and it was me.
Yeah.
Right? So the door opens up, and I go, oh, damn. So I walk in, I go, hey, what up, Nate? And then he's facing forward. I stand next to him. I'm facing forward. You know, like everybody getting elevated, you just stare at the numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, he doesn't look at the numbers. Everybody else stares at the numbers, but not him. He just looks straight, right? So the door closes. He doesn't say anything. And when the door closed, as soon as it closed, he turned sideways 90 degrees, and he faced me. And like, he kind of like grilled me like the entire ride. And I remember standing there, and out of peripheral vision, I saw him turn towards me. And in my head, I said, oh, shit. Oh, Lord, this is about to happen. I can't believe this. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. I can't believe this is going to happen, man. But then the door opened on the next floor. The door opened, and I just got out. It wasn't before. I just got out the elevator.
He never said anything?
I got out the elevator. I think I walked 6 floors up the stairs, man. I wasn't getting back in the elevator anymore. No more in the elevator. That was the first time Nate and I ever met. I've never told him that, man. I've been dying to see him in person to tell him that story. But, yep, the first time we met. Because the thing is, you've got to see it.
Yeah.
You've got to see it. You can't just, like, hearing it is one thing, but you've got to see the way Nate, in slow motion. I think he turned without moving his feet, so I don't know how that happened. Like, he went up the stairs straight, and he, like, slowly slid sideways. And then, like, as soon as he turned and faced me, like, his bottom lip stuck out, the underbite came out of hard. He's like, and I was like, oh, man. Like, really, I kept looking forward. I didn't say anything. I didn't move. I just said, you know what? In my head, I said, I can't believe this shit is about to go down in the elevator. I wasn't ready for this. I'm not wearing the right shoes. I don't have my nunchucks. What the fuck is about to happen, man? But that's what happened. The door opened. I just got, I was like, oh, bye, sir. And I got out the elevator. I just walked out.
Oh, my God.
Dude, you guys are so funny. Listen, thank you guys both for coming on the podcast. I could talk to you guys all day. I really think that you guys should have your own reality show. Anything,
right.
Where can people find you guys?
Twitter, Facebook.
She is at.
I even post on the underground.
At Rose Namajunas, Namajunas.
Yeah, I'm sure
Twitter,
they got that.
Instagram. We got the third one.
I'm on Pinterest too, so. I don't know how to use it, but you can follow me on there too.
Nice.
Yep, I'm at HyperDie everywhere. She's got a Thug Rose fan page on Facebook. She posts on the underground. She's on Score. Rose is everywhere, and they have people now walking around going, holy shit, is that Rose?
Nice,
hey,
nice.
Hey, sir, can you please hold my drink so I can get a picture with her? I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Well, we love having you on. Watch The Ultimate Fighter every Wednesday night on Fox Sports 1 at 10 o'clock. Support Rose, support Pat. You guys are a beautiful couple.
You guys are hilarious.
You guys, honestly, I think you're my two favorite guests we've ever had on, honestly.
You guys and
Kevin Randleman. But thank you guys so much, and take care. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime, man. We're all ready for it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
That was Pat and Rose. Dude, God.
I like him even more now.
Oh, man, that was
funny. I already liked him before.
But that was one of my favorite interviews we've ever had.
I go off like that. It was great.
It's so funny. Like David Letterman was talking about Robin Williams, and he's like, the best part about having Robin on the show is that I don't have to work. I don't have to be funny.
It's easy.
I could just sit there and let this guy
it's
be
like,
funny.
He's like a wind-up toy. You just like let it go.
And that's how I felt. Not to compare Pat and Rose to Robin Williams, comedy-wise, but as far as this podcast goes, that's how I just felt. Like I could allow them to be themselves, and I could just enjoy it.
Yeah, just listening to them interact. His support of Rose is amazing.
Oh,
like,
man.
The way he just hypes her up and all that is cool.
That is. No, it's great.
All right, so this week we got some good fights coming up. UFC Fight Night.
Japan.
Roy Nelson versus Mark Hunt. The undercard is pretty good, actually. Sam Cecilia versus Kakuno. Have you seen Kakuno fight?
I haven't, no.
He has, like, the weirdest striking. He puts his hands down.
Oh, yes, I have. I'm sorry. His hands are down. He's kind of doesn't look like he's really working. Like,
yeah,
he's too relaxed. He's kind of a zombie a little bit.
I think he's going to get destroyed by Sam. I mean, I can't see that working at this higher level, but I could see him getting knocked out by Sam.
Was he the one who got beat by Tony Ferguson?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly who that
was.
Yeah,
his hands were really low. He was... Didn't think that was a very good strategy. Not a good game plan.
Definitely not a good game plan.
No.
So and Sam Cecilia hits hard. He's part of an American Bong team along with Cody McKenzie and Michael Chiesa.
Is that the Washington crew?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I got Cecilia too.
Sick jitsu.
Think he's going to win this fight,
Bruce Leroy against Kanahara. I don't know who Kanahara is. Do you?
I don't.
So I think Bruce Leroy is going to win based on that.
Based on notoriety?
Yes. Misha Tate versus Rin Nakai. It's going to be an interesting fight. I don't know much about this Rin Nakai girl, but she's 16-0. She has all these like...
16, that's an impressive record.
16-0, she's jacked.
Mm-hmm.
She does like... I think she does pro wrestling, but at the same time, she does these weird videos where she's like naked, but not really naked, and she's in a bunny suit, and she's like... they say it's softcore porn, but there's no like insertion or masturbation. It's just like her... It's just some kind of weird body shots.
She is stocky.
She is, and she's jacked. But you got to see some of these videos. If you Google Rin Nakai nude films, you should see the pictures that come up.
On.
I swear. And Dana White says, I don't care what she wears. She's 16-0. She can fight.
That's quite a record.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be able to tell if that's...
Really, they're going to blur out? Japanese porn, they're going to blur the pictures out?
Just go to images. We're looking at images right now. Images. And... yeah, why is it? Oh, because it's like at work. You can't get it. Oh, so yeah, it's crazy. There's definitely some crazy.
Has she fought anyone good, or do you know anybody?
I don't know anybody she's fought. I know that she has some interesting YouTube videos. Okay. And I don't know. It's sort of it's a strange situation for Rin Nakai. She's got some picks out there.
She looks like a linebacker for the Colts.
She does look. she looks. She's jacked. Mm-hmm. She's jacked.
She's built like Justin Tuck.
So, Rin Nakai.
I'm going with Misha Tate.
You going Misha Tate?
Misha Tate by submission.
All right. Okay. That's I'm going Misha Tate also. Misha Tate fought on a very high level. Here are some of the pictures.
Yeah, she's fought the best women in the world, I think. So.
And this girl has.
This is her?
Yeah, that's not her. I don't know. That might be her, actually.
It's hard to tell.
Is that her? No, that's Rin Aoki.
Disgusting.
Yeah, so there's definitely some stuff going on here. All right, so there we go. This is her. Jake's friend right now. Jake's friend in the studio, who is a Marine. Thank you for doing that, for what you do. He's showing us the pictures of...
Robert Kugler.
Yes, he's always prepared. Always be ready, and he is ready with these pictures. So I'm picking Misha Tate.
T-Rex, who you got?
I got Misha Tate as well, just because she's. I don't know anything about the other chick. She's 16-0, but who she fought? I mean, are they talking about wrestling too? Like,
yeah, it's hard. It's hard to judge that. It could be like pride, you know, with somebody with an earpiece.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Amir Sadala versus Akiyama. I'm so happy that Amir's back.
I'm excited.
I like Amir.
Amir's awesome.
Tell me that. Kunimoto and Akiyama aren't the same guy.
They're brothers.
They do look a lot alike, actually.
That was racist, T-Rex. That,
no, they both have blonde,
like blonde hair
Asian
and
with
tan.
Fake blonde hair. I could see where that's coming from, where he's coming from with that. So,
anyway, I'm excited about Amir returning. He's been off for a little while.
Amir Sadala.
Akiyama, too. I don't think he's fought in a little while either. Huh?
No. And I think that Amir Sadala wins this fight.
Interesting fight. I got Amir, too.
I think Akiyama's good, but I think his best days are behind him. He has not looked good in the recent fights.
Mm-hmm. Sexy Yama.
So I would say Amir, but Amir hasn't fought in a long time. When he won the Ultimate Fighter, mm-hmm. That was a great season. It was him, JT Money, and CB Dolloway. Dolloway is on fire right now. Mm-hmm. I think Dolloway might be fighting in Brazil, I hear, for like a title, not a title, a main event, right? So,
I partied with Amir in Vegas one night, and we went to the Spearmint Rhino, and we walked in, and he disappeared. Like, once he was in there, I could not find him.
Oh, that's great.
And that surprises you?
Way to out him. There you go. Well, he disappeared for 3 years, too. So maybe that's where he's been for the past 3 years.
That's where he's been, at the Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah, he has never been back. Miles Jury versus Takanori Gomi. Miles Jury is 14-0. I think a guy who doesn't get the credit he deserves, I think. I mean, 14-0.
Yeah, quite a record.
I have him winning this fight. I do. I think Gomi's a great fighter.
Fireball's a beast, though.
That's going to be a tough test for
Fireball's
Miles.
Been through so many wars, though. And Jury hasn't. He's fresher
he's
fighter.
He's always dangerous, man. He's always dangerous.
Always dangerous. That's true.
He's surprised me in a lot of fights that he should have. He's kind of had, you know, this little bit up and down in the UFC, but him fighting in Japan, that's going to be a very tough test for Miles.
That's what I'm saying. I think I'm going with Fireball on this one. Just because,
really?
Yeah, just because he, you know, he is a beast. He's been through some wars. He's, what is he, 35-9 or something like that?
I know, like in boxing, when
and
a guy,
he's fighting in Japan.
I know in boxing when a guy's fighting overseas, Jake, they keep him up sometimes. They put him in bad hotels. They send him, you know, what terrible. Is it the same thing in Japan or in Brazil for you guys?
Like your opponent?
No, I'm saying is like, yeah, like a guy like Miles Jury going over to Japan, Gomi being a, you know, a huge legend in Japan. Are they gonna try to screw with him over there?
I don't think so. I don't. The UFC's they're really professional. They're really on. Like, I mean, there's usually no distractions. I'm gonna go with Jury actually in this fight too. I think it's gonna be a tough fight, but I think he's more well rounded.
Anything you want to say in the podcast? I feel like you haven't talked that much. Anything you want to say?
Well, no. I've been observing. I've been listening.
I love having you on the show, man. You're one of the best. You're the best.
You guys crack me up, and it's like, what? I just, you know, we flow off each other. It's good.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's good.
Appreciate it. All right, so Roy Nelson, Mark Hunt, who are we picking for this fight?
Jeez, I don't even know about this one. This is difficult for me. I would have... I'm going with Roy Nelson on this one. I am.
Jake?
How so? How does he win?
Why or how?
Whatever you want to say.
Believe it or not, I think it might be a submission.
Come on.
I'm telling you. Watch. Right.
Really?
Mark my words.
It might happen, but he hasn't submitted. When was the last time Roy submitted some guy? It was when he
submitted the Colonel.
The last time he submitted was out. Like, I think it was on The Ultimate Fighter when he used to get the guys in that crazy thing where he would put their belly. He can't put his belly on Mark Hunt's belly because
they won't touch otherwise.
he'll be in the ceiling. If he tries to lie on Mark Hunt, give me a break. It's going to be like a trampoline. It's going to be somebody, there was an earthquake in Japan the other day, and someone said, oh, Mark Hunt, and then went running or something. But, never submitted some guy. Well, I think on the old, remember he used to have that move. Okay, he got Kimbo in.
Yeah,
the crucifix.
Smothered him.
Followed by the punches.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I think that, but I just do. I think you can't knock Roy out. I'm sorry. I mean, Hunt hits hard as hell, but for some reason he just
Did Dos Santos?
Nelson's head is just too freaking hard.
Dos Santos stop him, Big Country.
Dos Santos stop Ronaldo? No, it was. So, they both, their chins are insane. I mean, they both could take punishment.
I feel like somebody did stop him, but
stop Roy Nelson?
Yeah, maybe. Am I wrong? Maybe
no. Right. Maybe the elevator because there's too many people on the board. I can't see him. I can't see him being stopped. So who are you picking, Jake?
I'm gonna go with Roy. I'm gonna go with Roy by TKO.
Wow.
On the ground.
Wow.
On the ground.
All right.
TKO.
Oh, man.
Later in the fight, we're talking like fourth round.
You know, I didn't think so either. Who you picking?
Oh, there's no doubt it's Mark Hunt.
Mark Hunt wins, yeah. No doubt?
Mark Hunt, fourth round.
Knockout?
Yeah, knockout.
You don't think they might just both gas and quit on the stool in the third round?
I think Roy might just have a heart attack and keel over. That's my personal opinion.
My God.
They're going to close every restaurant afterwards because they know they'll be out of business. They have a gentleman's agreement. If it goes to the third round, fuck it.
Neither of us can come out.
Yeah.
They both quit.
The fight of the night bonus is going to be paid in cake. So we have this new thing before we leave. Dana White's tweets. And I told Dana about it. He got a big kick out of it. So here's what happened. It was football season started, obviously. And Dana White wrote, "The Viking Crusher, Chan 5 Jones," is it Chandler Jones? "And he just smashed Fusco." That's what he writes, right? So then Aaron DeRoos writes, "He injured him, you classless piece of shit." To which Dana White responded, "It's football, you pussy." Right? So that was one of Dana's tweets over the weekend. The other one, I like it, which wasn't as crazy as like usual. Dana's kind of been hasn't been as active on Twitter. I think I may have jinxed him. But so somebody else writes, "He injured him, you class piece of shit." He goes, "And he's not injured, you little puss. He's back in. You should be watching bowling, you fucking sissy." So that's what Dana's...
Tune in and check out Pete Weber.
That's what Dana writes to somebody on Twitter. "Check out bowling, you pussy." I love it. I love it.
Or "you're a geek."
Or "you're a geek," or "shut up, you're an egg."
I stole that because someone told me that I look like Montez from
Office
Space.
Eric Griffin, yeah.
Right. And the person that said that had the little egg avatar.
So, and you said you're an egg.
And I said, "You look like an egg."
You look like Montez from Workaholics.
That's horrible.
Nice. So, Jake, anything?
I do not look like
does
that.
Does it, Adam?
No, I don't think it looks like that. I could see a resemblance, but
because
I'm
light skinned with the black mustache. That's it.
That's,
if you put some glasses on, maybe. Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Glasses and 35 pounds.
So, do you guys still sponsor Akiyama, by the way?
No.
What happened there?
He lost. I'm just kidding. No, that was just a one-time deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How much did you pay Akiyama for wearing your shirts, by the way?
I don't remember, but I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 grand, somewhere in there.
10 grand to wear your t-shirt out while he walks out.
Yeah. And then he fucked around and got beat up. I can't remember who he fought. It was a...
Was it Belfort?
No, it was... what's the other dude that's up there with Scrap Pack? Boxer
oh,
kid?
Oh, Kung Lee, right. Kung Lee.
Oh, no, not Kung Lee. He's a white dude.
No.
Is a boxer.
Boxer with the scrap back?
Yeah, with the Diaz brothers and all those guys.
Diaz brothers. This is Jake Shields.
Jake Shields.
Melendez.
He fought Jake
He's
Shields.
He's a boxer? Jake Shields? Oh, yeah, a boxer.
I was thinking KJ Nunes. I don't know what is he,
like
Nunes,
packing boxes? I don't know.
I was thinking KJ Nunes, but for some reason. Oh. But no, it was Jake Shields. When he fought Jake Shields in Japan. And we sponsored Akiyama for that fight. And then at the end of the fight, after he lost, they interviewed him, and this asshole had the shirt on backwards. We paid him, and he put the shirt on backwards. That's like you wearing that, "Hey, you're going to wear the Glendale Fight Club shirt," and then you get in the cage after.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's got beat up. I mean, what do you expect?
Come on.
I don't know.
It's business. Got to do what you got to do.
Yes. All right, so that is our podcast. I will be in Smethport, Pennsylvania, tomorrow, Thursday night through Saturday night, doing comedy.
I hate when you brag about the nice places that you go.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. And you can follow me at MMA Roasted or Adam Comedian. Read texts from Last Fight. I'll be doing them every weekend for The Ultimate Fighter. Every time there's Ultimate Fighter, I will be writing them as well. I don't know. I got a bunch of things coming up. AdamHunter.com. Jake, anything you want to promote?
No. November 15th. I'm back in UFC 180 in Mexico.
By the way, who's your friend that you brought in today?
Oh, my buddy Rob Kugler.
And Rob, where has Rob served?
Rob was in the United States Marine Corps. He was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps and good friend of mine. So he spent some time out here in LA.
But where were you overseas? Like where?
Adam had a staff infection.
Yeah.
I went to Iraq 2007.
Iraq 2007.
Yeah,
nice.
I've been out since 2009 and now I'm all soft and weak now.
Were you there for spring break?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's good. Cool. Tons of ass. Nice. Yeah.
Like, hey. Unfortunately, it was like man ass that you had to shower with.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Lots of man ass. All right. And T-Rex, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at home this weekend. This is my first weekend at home in like 3 weeks. I'm not going anywhere until I do the Cabo Comedy Festival October 1st through the 5th in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I just did Comics Unleashed last week.
Nice.
I don't know when that's airing, so I guess I'll keep you guys posted on that. And ToddRex.com. ToddRex at Twitter.
Do you guys ever play together?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Do we play together?
Yeah, and in like
shows.
A shower.
And with each other.
We play grab ass.
Shows.
Yes, we play shows together, yes.
I got to get.
You got one coming
one
up for Randy, right?
Randy, October 4th.
Oh shit!
It's a Saturday, October 5th or October 4th? October 4th at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Yes. Well, thank you guys for listening. Have a great week. Take care.
Thank you,
and bye bye. Thank you, Fox Sports.
DJ
thank
Shrove.
You, DJ Shrove.